evening, everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's Moore Success Team group call. We do this call the first Monday night of every month at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. This call is especially designed to help us out there in the group market arena to make our businesses grow and prosper in that arena. But to get things kicked off, well, before we get started, I hope everyone had a very happy and Thanksgiving and got a lot of time to have a lot of fellowship and friends with I'm sorry about that. But to get things kicked off tonight, I'd like to go to the Executive Vice President of Prepaid Legal, the leader of our More Success Team, $500,000 income earner. But the most important thing is my papa, Mr. Ken Moore. Papa?
Yeah, Jeremy, you said that $500,000, that sounds pretty good, except made over that last year, and I got always called me Social Security, and got a letter from the day since you made what you made again last year, said we're going to cut your Social Security check. Man, a man can't even get old and live anymore. I tell you what, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be with Prepaid. But you know, Jeremy, I'd like to say right now before we introduce the speaker that the 9 o'clock call will have Mr. Nick Server on it. So anybody that's on this call, if they could jump off when they get through listening to this call, and get, be great to do it. And, of course, next week we're going to have Mr. Randy Hart and then Mr. Bob Griffin for the small business class. But right now, this gentleman I introduced, Randy, we've heard before many times. He just, as far as I'm concerned, he just goes stronger and stronger in prepaid each and every day. He always has a message delivered. It's always a truthful message. It's down to the point. It's something that we should all listen to. And I know I learned things from him. I think we can learn from anyone who just listened to him. But this man's really, really good at what he does. You of all people know that, Jeremy. You know, he's a $100,000 ring earner. He's been with prepaid quite some time now. He's a platinum executive director. They could just go on, and he's a group trainer. He's just one of these days, pretty soon, I think he's going to be in the Millionaire Club. He's just come along, had the 10.77 months in a row, Players Club, 77 straight months in a row. And I think that's pretty outstanding, don't you, Jeremy?
I sure do.
Yeah, I tell you, it's just great to have him on our team. I was trying to think of how many years he had been on the team. I think he can tell us it's been quite some time, though. But it's my privilege to introduce to you not only, like I said, a good trainer, a good salesperson, a fine Christian gentleman, a good family man, but our friend, Mr. Jimmy Parrish.
Thank you, Ken and Jeremy. Hope you can hear me okay.
Hear you fine. We're very honored and pleased to have you on the call tonight, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. It's always an honor to be available to speak to the Moore family. And just, again, to answer your question, and just tell you a little bit of brief background for those on the call that I might have the pleasure of meeting. I'm in the state of Alabama, where I've been Senior Group Marketing Vice President now for a little over 6 years. I've been in the business for 9.5 years. But if you've seen my profiles of success right up, or you know a little bit about my background, my background is a Baptist minister, and I got in the business in May of 99, but I didn't do a whole lot for the first 37 months of the business. In fact, as I've told people in our pre-identity theft days, I sold 37 legal plans in my first 37 months. But I'm a walking example of not giving up on your slow starters, because once I got clued into group marketing in the summer of 2002, I've been fortunate enough to sell right at 6,750 memberships, and should get my 7,000 golden app in Oklahoma City if everything keeps going the way it's going now. And I've been in the business 9.5 years, Kenneth, but a little over 6 years full time. And you're going to hear a little bit about that as I share tonight, because I want to kind of share.
Well, Jimmy, also, you were trainer of the year. What was the year before that?
2005.
Oh, Lord. You can tell I'm getting old, can't remember, but it was an honor to have you on the team, being trainer of the year back in 2005. So I should have mentioned that, and I apologize for not doing it.
Well, that's okay. I was just as shocked when they called my name out. Then I almost fell off the stage. It was quite an interesting story behind that, but it was very humbling to only be a trainer for 2.5 years and to achieve that honor. But I just appreciate that and what goes with it. But tonight, for those that are on the call, I know you guys are dedicated people, or you wouldn't be on here at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And I want to kind of use my training opportunity in a couple of segments tonight The first half, I want to talk about just some practical tips for fine-tuning your group marketing business and just hit some quick bullet points there. And then the last part of my time, my 30 minutes, I want to just talk to you just about how to succeed in prepaid legal, and not only in prepaid legal, but I think if you can incorporate some of these things we're going to talk about, it'll also help you succeed in life. But first of all, about just fine-tuning your group marketing career, for all of you in group, you know that there's four steps involved in getting paid in group. You got to get the appointment with that decision maker, as I like to call it, dialing for dollars, or some people may, you know, walk into businesses, but I like to use the phone. And then secondly, there's the appointment itself with the decision maker. The third element is a pre-enrollment checklist, which was incorporated a couple of years ago with some input that I had with that. And then the fourth thing is the enrollment itself. And although you don't get paid until you get those individuals in a room or in wherever you happen to be doing the enrollment, there's certain things you've got to get squared away on if you want to make sure your enrollment is all that you want it to be. And those are the things that I want to talk about tonight, some things you need to ask and what I would refer to as part of your pre-enrollment checklist, some things you need to make sure that are covered between the time you get the verbal commitment from the decision maker that, yes, we are going to go ahead and do the group, before you actually get in front of those employees. And a few of those I just want to hit tonight and talk about that and some suggestions I would have. Having opened up, I guess, in the last 6 years, between 100 and 200 groups myself. In fact, Kenneth, I think right now I'm on track to double my groups opened this year from last year, and I'm
wonderful.
I'm proud of that. Had a great month last month, opened six new groups. But one of the things I want to talk about is the first thing is just is the size of the group. And you need to ask the decision maker how many people will be at that enrollment. And I'm just here to tell you, for those who've not had a lot of experience in doing group, if you're going to do that enrollment, you really need to keep that group size. If you're relatively new in the business, 15 to 20, maybe 25 pops, and that's stretching it. You really need to have some people that you're field training that you can take out with you, whether you compensate them or not. Part of it just may be to get them hooked on group and seeing how you get compensated, but you need to make sure you keep those group sizes small, or you're just going to lose some applications if you don't. Also, you need to ask what is the potential for interruptions. I've had a number of situations where they let the phone ring in there. Sometimes they actually had pets in the room. There were people going and coming, and it really can disrupt you. So try to keep that and cover that on the front end. Find out what type of room, thirdly, you're going to be in. Are you going to be indoors? Are you going to be outdoors? Are you going to have a classroom style with tables? Or are they going to be seated in chairs? And if so, do you need clipboards, or do you have file folders they can write on? All of those are important. Number four, will you need to bring refreshments? And although I'm not trying to increase people's expenses in operating a group, sometimes I'm glad to feed people if it'll mean I get folks in the room. And so offer to do that if you can. And do what you can do to get people there. And if they, you know, I had one group that wasn't going to let me meet with them for 3 months. And I said, well, you do eat, don't you? Would you let me bring in some KFC? And they couldn't believe I would feed them. And then we got 80% of the employees, we fed them during lunch. So if that's something you need to look at, by all means, plan to do it. Number five, make sure you get that payroll representative and have discussions with them. And, you know, tell them that, you know, you'll be leaving the payroll slips with them, and the company's going to be calling them to verify that the group was actually done. Because without that done, not only are the employees not going to be covered, but you're not going to get paid. Number six. This goes for those people that are small business certified. You need to make sure that you are presenting that business owner's legal solution plan, because most of the groups we're calling on are less than 100 employees. That means they're eligible for the small business plan. If you don't offer that small business plan, as Nick Server would probably tell you if he was talking about that an hour from now, you're leaving money on the table. So always include that business owner's legal solution plan in the presentation. Some people you know, start with group and lead to small business. Some people start with a small business plan and lead the group. I'm a groupie, so I start with the group arena and I lead into the small business when I talk about that, some of those same things we can do for the business owner. Number seven, find out how many pay periods they're going to have. Either pay 52 pay periods, 26 pay periods, 24 pay periods, or 12 pay periods, because that determines the price that you're going to be talking about in the enrollment itself. And then make sure that you find out if the benefits are deducted from every paycheck. Because I've had some groups where the employees were paid every other week. So it's a 26 pay period month, But I find out that on the 2 months out of the year where the employees get three paychecks, the company doesn't take any benefits out of those checks. And if they don't do that, that makes it a semi-monthly or a 24-pay period amount, and that's actually a different amount that's deducted. And so you need to know those things before you get in front of the employees. Number eight, always get your gold card, your blue card, your white card signed before the enrollment day. Get that signed at your decision-maker meeting, because although the owner may say they're going to be there, the decision-maker, something may come up at the last minute and they have to go out on an emergency call, they own the business, and if you don't have that card signed, you take up applications, you might as well just use them to start a fire with, because they're not worth anything unless you can get that card signed. So don't wait till the enrollment day to get that done. Number nine, I always try to get the decision maker to introduce me. First of all, I want to make sure I've sold them the product and that they don't mind me sharing that they bought it. And a lot of times I'll get them to fill out their paperwork right there in the session, but they've already verbally committed to me that they're going to buy it. And so I let the people know in the enrollment that Mr. Smith has bought the plan. I get him nodding his head. And any of those employees that might be on the fence, they're going to say, well, if it's good enough for Mr. Smith, I guess it's good enough for me. And you're going to pick up people you might not have gotten otherwise. And then the last thing is just realize that of all the objections you might hear, you can pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, boil those objections down into four particular types. There's really only four different types of objections, and they all begin with the word no. And those are no need, no confidence, no hurry, and no money. Once again, no need, no confidence, no hurry, and no money. So that's pretty much what they're telling you. The more you can ask individually about them, you can probably get back down to it, to whether they, because there's no confidence because they don't understand everything. Typically in your presentation, you're going to talk about the need, and you can also cover our pricing, which makes it a tremendous value. So that refutes the money issue because they're coming out better with our plan than paying the $200, $300 an hour rate. And no hurry, there's certain tools that you can give, such as balance of power DVDs, temporary membership kits, using your PPL membership audio CDs and Video Plus, where I give those out the day they enroll, and I use that as a closing technique to knock out the no hurry, where I say, if you go ahead and do that today, take it home, talk to your spouse. That way, if you change your mind, you can let me know. But I cover those things, and typically that's what leads to some 80 to 100% response rate. So those are a few practical tips that you might find on just fine-tuning your career as far as group marketing arena is concerned. And in the last 15 minutes or so, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to talk to you from my heart about how I feel like you can succeed in prepaid legal. As I said, I'm in my 10th year of being in the business, but really and truly only about the last six-plus years in the business full-time. And I'm just going to talk about some things and how it's related to me and how I hope it can help you to grow your business. Now, you got to understand, going into the call, folks, my background is ministry. So if you feel like I'm preaching to you with some of this, you just tell your minister next Sunday, if you don't go, that you went to church Monday night and Jimmy Parrish preached to you. That's going to get you a free cut for church. Now, you know I'm just kidding you there. But if you hear some scriptural references here, you can just apologize. That's just coming from my heart here. But the first thing I want to talk to you about on succeeding in our business is having the right attitude. Having the right attitude. You know, a lot of people in our business, I hear people talk all the time, and they might complain about where they are, where they came from, or, you know, they were a CEO in a company, or they might have been a night shift cashier in a convenience store. But appreciate how you got where you are in our company. I don't ever let time go by without thanking my sponsor, thanking my upline for getting me in this business. Because, you know, even though I work in a church situation, I've been known to say, you know, a bad day in prepaid legal is better than a good day in what I did before. Now, that doesn't mean I did not like the ministry. It's quite the opposite. I enjoyed what I was doing. But I was in a large church. There were 7,000 members. There were 100 people on staff. We had a budget of between $5 and $6 million. It was like working for a large company. And I was somewhat like a middle manager of a large company, and I wasn't the boss. And as I said when I was named trainer of the year, Kenneth, from the stage, and I was talking to Mr. Stonecipher about getting prepaid legal in me, I said, you know, if you're not the lead dog in the hunt, the view never changes, whether you work in church or corporate America or whatever else. And I never have a bad day at prepaid legal. And I think if you look at your business that way, you never have a bad day because you can always be working for somebody else. And I love telling people the only person I work for in this company is a lady I sleep with at night. That's a good thing to say, and I don't mind answering to her because I answer to her in most every other area. But number one, have the right attitude. Number two, have the right approach. Albert Einstein was quoted as saying, education is what remains after one has forgotten what one has learned in school. Now, Jeremy, you can probably appreciate that from what you and I have talked about, your educational attainment and background. Education is what remains after one has forgotten what one has learned in school. Now, I'm just kidding, Jeremy, but that goes for a lot of people on this call, including myself. I learned, when I was at the University of Alabama, I learned a lot about certain things about pre-law and being a political science major and a history minor. But you know what I learned in college was how to relate with people. And that's what's helped me in life. It wasn't what I learned in the classroom. It's what I learned in just relating to people. So I can't agree anymore with Albert Einstein is that it's what remains after I forgot what I learned in school. That's why I was educated. And then I want to comment about a couple of words that a lot of times people get kind of messed up. And those are the words efficiency and effectiveness. Now, remember, we're talking about the right approach. Now, efficiency, folks, is doing things right. That is what efficiency is. And most people are taught that way. I was taught that way growing up, is to do things right. But, folks, effectiveness is doing the right things. So don't miss that. Efficiency is doing things right, but effectiveness is doing the right things. And for me, to do what's right for me, I've got to learn how to say no. And I like to use it, you know, eating a meal is a good way to describe the difference between efficiency and effectiveness. Now, I was taught growing up, I was in the clean plate club. And when I was eating a meal, you know, I was supposed to do things right. I was supposed to clean my plate. My parents came up through the Depression, and they didn't have a lot of things sometimes, so I was told to clean my plate. But effectiveness is maybe leaving some things on the plate or maybe not eating the type of foods that would not be good for me, maybe getting a balanced diet that would keep me healthy. So that's kind of a cool illustration there. And just remember, you know, doing what's right for you. You need to learn how to say no sometimes. You're going to be out there talking to people. You'll be talking to groups. Sometimes people are going to be talking in the recruiting situation. And just remember, you guys in Oklahoma and Texas and places where oil is drilled, even folks in the oil industry only strike oil 1 out of every 10 times. And just think, if you were to strike gold in what you're doing in the group marketing arena or the recruiting arena, if you could get 1 out of every 10, as long as you're doing the following things we're going to talk about next, you're going to be fine, because you do not have to be perfect to be effective. Just remember, effectiveness is doing the right things. And that leads to the number three, which is the right activity. So we've got the right attitude, the right approach, and number three is the right activity. This is just about living your life to the fullest, I believe. And one, to me, there are three things involved in this. One is having a good mentor as well as a good workout partner. Now, we talk about prepaid legal, and the 10 things you need to be doing is having a good workout partner. But, you know, we don't talk about having a good mentor. But, you know, in the book of Philippians, in the New Testament, Paul writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine." And we've got some wonderful leaders on the More Success team that you need to look toward your mentors. Some are on this call tonight. Ken, Randy, and Jeremy Moore, the Hughes brothers, Yvette Mayo, Kyle and Lisa Kimbrell, Linda Bowden, Bob Pilcher, Rona Unsell. Some of these are strong in certain areas of our company, and some are real strong group marketing people. And they can be a mentor to folks. Good mentors, ladies and gentlemen, lead by example. They know that in order to be followed, they must first be respected. And each of those people I called out are that type of person. They have that kind of chemistry there where, you know, they can tailor their instructions by understanding your strengths and weaknesses. But also, it's living your fullest life and having the right activity. You need to have your best efforts. Andrew Carnegie was quoted as saying one time, "There's no use in trying to help people who will not help themselves." He said, "You cannot push anyone up a ladder unless he or she is first willing to climb it." How many times do we try to go after that group that won't say yes to us because we just don't want to be told no? We need to just move on to somebody else, or that recruit that we bring on and we do everything for them, and they won't even meet us halfway. You know, they've got to give their effort too. And that leads to just doing a little extra. You know, Jesus taught in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about going the extra mile, said if someone says go with you 1 mile, then you need to go with them 2. That involves, you know, a couple of things, actually. Number one, a little extra effort. Art Williams said, you beat 50% of the people by working hard. You beat the other 40% by being a person of honesty. And the last 10%, it's a dogfight. But again, if you just put that little extra effort, you can beat both of the people by working hard and being honest. And then it's just a fight to the finish. But also, it may take a little extra time. There's a sculptor who worked on Mount Rushmore, and his name was Gutzon Borglum. And he was asked by some press after he created the memorial to the American presidents in Mount Rushmore if he considered his work to be perfect. And he said, no, it's not today. He said, the nose of President Washington is an inch too long. It's better that way, though, because it's going to erode, and it's going to be exactly right in 10,000 years. Now, he won't be around for that, and none of us will be either. But what that reminded me of was residual income, because we have residual income, and I have right now residual income after six good, strong years of working hard in this business. If I were to quit tomorrow, I've got on paper a residual income of six figures. But you know what? I can see that on paper, but I don't have it yet because my debit balance is not low enough for me to get that because I'm going out and making $12,000 to $15,000 a month in advance commissions. And so I haven't been in the business long enough and had my business mature enough to get that. So it's not the right time. It's going to take extra time for that to happen. So the first 3 points here about how to succeed prepaid legal. Number one, the right attitude. Number two, the right approach. Number three, the right activity. And number four, the right results. And I think about whatever happened to contentment in our culture today. We seem to replace contentment with entitlement. And not only in life, but I see that with people that are coming into prepaid legal and they get a few things their way and they feel like it ought to be easy and they don't realize it takes a lot of hard work. It's like Amilda Kaufman said on the group marketing call this morning, and Amilda is one of my mentors that spent some time with me when I first got started in the business 6 years ago. And she said this morning, group marketing is the easiest and hardest job that she's ever had. And there's a lot of truth to that. It can be very easy, but it can be very difficult. And I want to use an illustration out of the book of 1 Samuel. And some of you may not even be familiar with this, but there was a story there talking about donkeys belonging to Saul's father that were lost. Now, these are lost donkeys. And Saul's father's name was Kish. And he said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go ahead and look for the donkeys. This is out of 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now, y'all have heard of paraphrase in Scripture. Well, I'm known to paraphrase it, so I'm going to give you the paraphrase version tonight. We'll shorten this out. People of Israel wanted a king, folks, and God agreed to that. Samuel was a prophet of Israel who was going to anoint the man God had chosen. God selected Saul to be the first king of Israel. And this is a Saul in his story. And it's interesting to look at the circumstances in which God called Saul into his new vocation as a king. Because Saul's father had a business to use donkeys during those times, biblical times. Donkeys were used for commerce. It's important to the father to find these lost donkeys, so he sent Saul and his servant out to find them. They went all over the place, couldn't get them. Saul told the servant they should go back. He thought his dad was going to get worried. But the servant said, no, there's a man of God in this town. He's respected. Let's go there now. Maybe he'll tell us what's taken. Of course, the person in that town was Samuel, who told him the donkeys were safe. He would also tell Saul the next morning everything was in his heart. He informed Saul of his new calling to be the next king. Now, can you see what circumstances, folks, led to Saul receiving his call? It all started with a problem in business, lost donkeys. That led to connecting Saul with Samuel through a number of divine appointments and circumstances. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's still in that business today because there's no way I should be in prepaid legal today were it not for divine appointments and circumstances. And some of you probably have similar stories. But I've been named Minister of the Year from a non-denominational publication back in 1998, and there was a press release that went out to my hometown newspaper. Somebody read that press release. They called me. They asked me to speak at a mayor's prayer breakfast for 500 people. At that breakfast was Don Bryan. Don Bryan's successor who put me in touch with Don Bryan. Hadn't seen Don Bryan in 20 to 30 years. When we connected, he told me about prepaid legal, and that's how I got involved. So there were a number of divine appointments. And if one of those things had not gone just right, I wouldn't be talking to you tonight on this call. So just realize that maybe you had a business problem, and maybe you must realize that a business problem may lead to a new calling for your life. Some of you are part-time in this business, and it may take some kind of problem in your business to lead you in this particular direction like it's done for me. Saul had no idea that lost donkeys were going to be the instrument used to change his life. I had no idea that speaking at a mayor's prayer breakfast in Montgomery, Alabama, would lead me on a course to get to where I am right now. But that's, when you got that happening, you can realize the right results. And so you got the right attitude, right approach, right activity, right results. And finally, the right perspective. You got to understand the reason here, why you do what you do. And you need to ask yourself that question, like, why do you do what you do? You need to know your why. And I want to tell you one quick story as I conclude before turning back over. And it was about having the right perspective for not only understanding the reason why you do what you do, but refusing to let your spirit die. There was a professor of medicine at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, by the name of David Rabin. When he was 46 years of age, he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. He knew what would happen to him. He had a doctorate in medicine, so he knew what was going to happen: stiffness in the legs, then weakness, paralysis of the lower limbs and the upper limbs. Eventually, his body would no longer obey his commands. He could form words only with the greatest difficulty, and eventually, he wouldn't be able to speak at all. He lost his ability to treat patients and could no longer go to the hospital to work. He would have had, ladies and gentlemen, a brilliant academic career, and now he cannot even turn the pages of a book at 46 years of age. But there was one thing he would not surrender, and that was his spirit. One day he heard from a fellow physician who also had Lou Gehrig's disease about a computer that could be operated by a single switch. That switch could be operated by anyone, however physically challenged, who retained the function of just one muscle group. David Rabin still had enough strength in one part of his body, his eyebrow. So for the next 4 years, he used it to speak to his family, tell jokes, write papers, review manuscripts. He even carried on a medical consulting practice. He taught med students, and he published a comprehensive textbook on endocrinology and received a prestigious award for his work. But he did it with the only thing he could control, and that was a single eyebrow. The Bible says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble, and David Rabin proved that this was true. He had a spirit that refused to give up, and he used that one eyebrow to bless the world around him. So as I conclude tonight, folks, what is it with you? You know, we have. If this gentleman can do what he did, you know, don't ever let your spirit die. It may not be going for you right now the way you want it to go. You may have heard of people that are having great years in prepaid legal. Well, not everybody's always had a great year in prepaid legal. And maybe it's just now ramping up for you. But if you can take these principles of having the right attitude, the right approach, the right activity, the right results, which leads you to the right perspective, then you can be the kind of person that Mr. Stonecipher was talking about when he went to the new compensation plan October 31st of this year, when he said at the beginning of that video, we are here to serve. Our goal is to serve others. And if you can carry out these tendencies, then you can be successful in prepaid legal. And that would be your key to success in our business. So, Kenneth and Jeremy and Randy, I'll turn it back over to you.
I tell you one thing, Jeremy, that is so much powerful information. No wonder you're so successful as you are. I want to thank you one more time for being on our team, Jeremy. You're a great asset to it. We've got a strong team, as you know, and it's getting stronger each and every day. We have so many wonderful people that you're certainly one of the very best. Jeremy, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I thought you might want to say something to Jimmy.
Tell you what, Mr. Parrish, I can listen to you for hours and hours and hours. That's just, I really don't have the words to say how good that was. You always do a phenomenal job, and I appreciate you not only taking time out to be on these calls, but whenever I personally needed you, you've always been there to help me out, and I just want to tell everybody what a phenomenal, phenomenal prepaid legal associate you are. But on top of that, what a phenomenal person you are.
Well, thank you both. And I just appreciate, too, you guys are always there for us. And I never called you guys in the home office that y'all weren't able to do what we need to have done in the field. And it's always reassuring to know that you guys are there and wanting us to succeed. And it just goes back again to what Mr. Stonecipher said. We're here to serve. And if we serve others, it's going to come back to us full circle. And I'm thankful to be able to be on the More Success team. There's not another team I'd rather be on, and I'm thankful to be doing what I'm doing and being able to not only have my own life impacted by this business, but to hopefully impact the lives of others.
You know, Jimmy, it's a great company, a great cause. And like we always say, God first, family second, prepaid third, and absolutely it works.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But thank you. And, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the 9 o'clock call, and Jimmy, we'll listen for you then, and thank you for everything, and God bless you, and we'll listen for you at 9 o'clock.
Thanks so much.
Good night, everyone.